Now, this is interesting because I never knew anything about this. And we're going to talk about Operation Aquila with Superintendent Jenny Sims. And it's really important, this. So every business and premises should listen to this because it's quite fascinating. First of all, Jenny, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Operation Aquila, strange name.
It is a strange name. Every police operation gets a name, and this is one randomly picked. But I think Operation Aquila has been hugely successful for a number of reasons. So if I take you back and just tell you the story, in about October 2013, I approached local business leaders to reduce retail crime across Merseyside. And I persuaded them and got a lot of support from them to purchase and fitted 30 fogging devices. So these devices, basically, when you go in, if you commit a business robbery in those premises, the shopkeeper will press a button and the store immediately fills with smoke.
Wow.
Less than a second.
Never heard of that before. Wow.
We've put quite a bit over the media. We've sent postcards to criminals as well, telling them that these devices are in the stores, because when we went out to visit with them in prison, they said they didn't know what they were. So we've told them now, and we've seen massive reductions as a result. And we've seen where business robberies have happened and they've pressed the button and the smoke's gone off, the offenders drop their weapons and then try and get out. The really great thing is if they've come in through the roof, well, they can't get out because there's no exit. Or if it's during the day, all they want to do is get out of that store, which keeps people in the store safe and keeps the shopkeeper safe
now,
as well.
Now, let me ask you a question there. What about the people in the store with the smoke? What happens to them?
Completely harmless. It doesn't affect food, anything edible at all. And it's just a great way of preventing crime.
So it's just the shock tactic of something happening and then the room is full of smoke, which is time for the police to arrive.
Absolutely. It gives us time to arrive, but also those people who are committing these crimes just want to get out of the store as quickly as they can.
That's fascinating. That really is fascinating. Now, this you've been involved from the beginning with this, haven't you?
Absolutely. So I got involved in October 2013. But what happened is we got lots of businesses on board, so we've not been able to do this without the businesses. We got the city council involved. They bought some devices for us, and the Police and Crime Commissioner as well has been brilliant, giving us some funding to buy more equipment. And what we did is we had a look at the crime data, and we had a look at our hot streets and vulnerable premises across Merseyside. And what we found is there was a pattern to where the business robberies were happening, but also where the domestic burglaries were happening as well. So we focused on a particular area within Liverpool, and we targeted it with a media campaign. The Police and Crime Commissioner funded for us to put an academic in the prisons just to find out what tactics would work with offenders and what wouldn't. And as a result, we bought some devices. So we've already talked about the fog bandits. We bought selected DNA sprays so that if somebody goes into a store, tries to commit a robbery, they get sprayed with a fine mist, which means we can link them to the scene of the crime. We also bought covert cameras. We've got tracker devices to go in cigarette cartons. And we also bought some Staff Safe and Skyguard alarms. And the beauty of these, not only did we buy them, we also got businesses to buy them as well. So these are in a number of convenience stores and also right across the betting industry in Merseyside as well. And often people go in there and think that they're not being monitored. But what happens is a third party control room is actually looking in the store through the CCTV or monitoring it on the audio. And so if something happens in the store, the shopkeeper or business owner can press a button, and that automatically alerts the third party control room that something's wrong, and they will start watching and monitoring what's going on, and they will intervene appropriately. So maybe that they say something over the audio or that they silently dial 999, but the person in the shop who's committing the offence won't know unless it comes over the audio that they're being watched. And we found that to be hugely successful.
So there's quite a lot of stuff out there that I seriously was not aware of this at all. How do businesses who haven't got it get it?
Well, if they make contact with their local neighbourhood policing teams, we're now starting Aquila 2. So we've got another area of Liverpool identified where we're going to put another tranche of funding for this equipment in there. So certainly those businesses will already be approached. And again, looking at an evidence-based policing, what we've done is we've looked at our next hotspot area. We've identified the streets and the businesses that we want this equipment to go into, and also the homes that we want the domestic burglary kits to go into as well. So those premises will automatically be contacted. But we've also got other equipment as well where we've got vulnerable premises where we'll work with shopkeepers to put that in. The big businesses, what we've been doing is we get them in every quarter and we get them to buy their own equipment. But certainly for the gambling industry, for the banks and also the retailers, what we do is we get them in and we get them talking. So we make sure that they don't have readily accessible cash on the premises. And that's been great. And you'll have heard me on the media before, you know, 5 years for 50 quid, is it worth it? Well, that's a reality, because what we're seeing when we look at the data, when we look at the crimes, that actually the amount of money that people are getting away with, it is around the £50 mark, so it just isn't worth committing these crimes in the first place. And then if they do get away with the 50 quid, well, guess what? The forensic sprays are there, so we can link them to the scene of the crime. So there's, you know, we've got the tracker devices. So all these different pieces of equipment working collectively together. And also we did presentations to the magistrates as well, letting them know what this equipment was about. And all that has meant that we've seen massive reductions across Merseyside. We've seen 50% reduction in Liverpool alone. And we want to keep this work going now. So hence why we're doing Aquila 2.
Do you have stickers on the businesses' doors saying these are protected?
Yeah, we've got stickers, we've got posters. And also you'll see around certain parts of Liverpool, you'll see the ad shells. So you'll see pictures that glow in the dark of criminals sprayed with the forensic spray. And we're now going to widen that. We're going to have a second marketing campaign as well. And as much as I can, get out on the radio, in the papers, sending postcards out to offenders to let them know that this equipment is there.
I love that idea. What was the idea? Who thought of the idea of sending postcards to a criminal to say, you're wasting your time?
Well, when we went out and spoke to criminals in the prison, they told us why they did the crimes and what would stop them from doing the crimes. And when we talked about, well, we've bought this equipment, would that stop you from doing it? Some pieces of equipment, they said, yeah, I know what that does. And other pieces of equipment, they said, well, actually, that wouldn't stop me because I don't know what it does. So responding to that, we've then obviously looked at all the criminals that we have across Merseyside and sent information out to them to say, if you commit these types of crime, this is what a fogging device is. You know, don't be on your guard, one of these might go off, or this is what a forensic spray is. One of our next tactics is we do have equipment which will allow us to detect on vulnerable premises where there's human activity, for example, overnight when there shouldn't be anybody in those premises. So we have a list now of premises that shouldn't have anybody in there. And if we find people in there, we have a way of detecting them. So again, looking at how we can protect businesses out of hours as well as when they're open.
And I've got to say about what you just said then, I know what you're talking about. I won't go any further with it, but I'll tell you now, criminals, you'll be shocked. So beware of that. Do you say the area you're doing it in, or do you keep that blank?
I think it's very obvious. Well, we're doing it right across Merseyside. So that's my first point. We're working with businesses pan-Merseyside, and we're also working with other forces as well. So, for example, my regional meeting where the likes of Yasda, Tesco's, your big stores come in and work with us, that's ourselves, Manchester, Lancashire, you know. So we're looking at organised criminals then as well and making the links. So, you know, it's right across the board, really.
Well, I think it's an amazing idea. Let's move away from businesses now and talk about private homes, because, as you know, late night radio, there's a lot of people out there concerned about their homes. What can you give advice to them?
Well, the great thing about the domestic burglaries is we've gone out and used the selected DNA kits. So making sure that their property's marked, making sure that their home is secure, giving them crime prevention advice. And as a result of doing that and making sure that the streets are marked so that criminals know where this forensic marking is in place, again, we've seen massive reductions with burglary dwellings. So, you know, we've got 436 less offences this year than we had last year. So, you know, that's a really positive story. And we're building on that again for the Aquila 2 area. So, again, we've identified another area where people are more vulnerable to domestic burglary. And we're going to go out and work with those people if they want to work with us and secure their homes.
How can people find out more about that? Listening right now.
Contact your local neighbourhood inspector. All the local neighbourhood inspectors know me and know what the initiative is, so they'll all have information and we can get these kits fitted in the right areas. We always have spare kits as well, so if we've got particularly vulnerable premises or people who've got particular needs, then, you know, we'll always work with them, and there's always equipment available in the neighbourhoods as well.
So we've got Aquila 1, now we've got Aquila 2.
Yeah.
Is this a national thing that somebody just thought of with all these gizmos and gadgets, which are fantastic gadgets? Before this, was there anything in place?
I think there's a lot of work going on right across the country. You know, there's a national lead in policing for business crime, and we really do take it seriously nationally. But particularly on Merseyside, we wanted to make sure that we really listened to retailers. Because let's not forget, this isn't a victimless crime. You know, if you're working in a shop, at the end of the day, you're just trying to earn a living. And if you're subject to a business robbery, you know, it can be absolutely traumatic for you. And, you know, some people never, ever return to work. So I think people need to remember that. But it's not just that. You know, when you talk to retailers, the amount of theft that they get from their stores, and particularly if they're small stores, it can put them out of business. So I think it's everybody's responsibility to help reduce retail crime. You know, don't buy stuff if it's cheap, because actually, you know, buying that stuff that's cheap and not asking those questions about where it's come from, well, actually, it is a victimless crime, because at the end of that, somebody might have been subject to a business robbery, or somebody's store might have had to have closed because people are stealing from them.
Here's one you've heard before, which makes me so cross. But they're insured.
But often, you know, the smaller businesses, it's difficult to get insurance, you know, and one more job actually puts a hike up on their insurance, you know. And ultimately, even the bigger stores, you know, Tesco, your Asda, people say, well, they're big companies, you know, they can take the loss.
They can't.
Well, actually, they can't.
And they take staff away. They take staff away first.
Absolutely. And it means people lose their jobs and, you know, decent members of the public actually lose that service. So what I would say to people listening today is, you know, if you do have information about people who are committing retail crime, whether it's shop theft, burglary, you know, or business robberies, then please do give us the information. Call the police direct or call Crime Stoppers completely anonymously. And we've done a number of warrants now, early morning warrants covered by the media. And, you know, the information that the public give us is absolutely vital. And I give you this reassurance today that anything that comes into us in relation to retail crime, we will do everything that we can to make sure that we follow up on it. You know, we've gone through offenders' doors and also their associates' doors as well, where we have the information. And that information comes from the public. So, you know, really grateful for the information that's come in, and please keep it coming.
By the way, the trackers, it's not just cigarettes. They're everywhere, aren't they, in the stores?
Yes, we put them in items that can easily be stolen.
Yeah, which is fantastic. I must just talk again briefly about the insurance, because, of course, we mentioned insurance before, but we've got to point out, haven't we, the human cost. It's nothing to do with money.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you can be paid all the money in the world, but if you've been held to ransom with somebody holding a knife or a firearm asking you for money, you know, you never get over that. That'll always be with you. It's an absolutely traumatic crime, and some people never, ever come back to work. So, you know, you can't underestimate the human impact that this has on people. It's a terrible crime, and no amount of money will make up for that.
Let me give you two scenarios. I'm going to set up a little business, and then I'll set up my home. So you tell me how you can help me. So I'm going to buy a little business. You come along, and I want advice because I'm really scared. You tell me what I can put in that shop.
Well, basically, what we've done is we've done a training session. So we've done every single police community support officer, constable, sergeant, inspector has had this training across the force. So we got together with the retail sector, some of the retail giants, but also some of the smaller convenience stores. And we got everybody in and we trained everybody. So we said to the big giants, can you share some of your best practice with us and each other? And so now what we've got is police community support officers who are able to go out, speak to the shop owners, advise them where they can put certain pieces of equipment. So, you know, don't put your alcohol near the front door. Have a think about where your tills are. Have a think about where your blind spots are. But the key bits that stand out for me in terms of preventing shop theft particularly are, you know, if you work in a closed store, make sure the hangers are on opposites, so that if somebody comes and tries to grab the clothes off, well, they can't because they're hanging in opposite ways.
What a simple little thing.
Precisely. And things like, if you've got a security guard at the front of your shop, don't have them on a podium looking down. Have them at the door greeting people when they come in, because criminals tell us, if you look them in the eye and say hello to them, they know that you've seen them and it makes them uncomfortable and they don't want to stay.
Another silly little thing.
And it's about shop owners and the people who work in those shops really being observant. You know, engaging people in conversation. You don't have to be confrontational. You know, you don't have to challenge these people, but just simply speaking to them and noticing that they're there makes a difference.
So we've got security, we've got the coat hangers. Now, what gizmos can we put in? What gadgets?
So you've got your fogging devices. So they work in your smaller stores. So post offices, they're particularly good.
And is that in a certain place on the ceiling or on the wall?
It can go on the ceiling, the wall. But what will happen is one of our architectural liaison officers will come out and decide where it goes in the store. Obviously, we work with shopkeepers. Some of the bigger stores or the shops that want to buy them themselves. Again, if you contact your local neighbourhood, you know, we can help you in terms of what suppliers to go to and the kinds of costs that you should be looking at for that. Because what we're saying to retailers is, look, we're willing to help. But equally, you need to do your bit as well. We can't afford to put this equipment in everybody's store. We have to prioritise, you know, where the particularly vulnerable places are and those independent stores where they can't afford to buy it themselves.
So we've got the smoke machine. What else?
So the tracker devices. So we've got a number.
And how's that work?
So it's a small device. You won't know it's there. So if you steal, we then have a policy where it will activate. Our control room will be made aware. And then you may well find that you have a number of officers at your front door.
So what else have we got?
So we talked about the smoked cloaks. We've talked about the fogging devices. You've got the Staff Safe and Skyguard alarms. So they are, some of them have CCTV and audio, and others are just audio. And it's a simple box with a speaker, and the third party supplier, the third party will monitor this alarm. And they'll monitor what's going on in the store. And if there's an issue, the shopkeeper can press a button, but it's being monitored anyway. But by pressing the button, they let them know, look, I need some help here. And the Skyguard people will come over the system and ask the relevant questions. So they've had the right training. So by looking and listening, they will give the right response. And we've had it work for antisocial behaviour, where kids have gone in, messed around in a store. The shopkeeper's there late at night, on their own, feels vulnerable, presses the button, and over the alarm system comes, is everything all right? Do you need us to call the police?
That comes out loud.
That comes out the speaker. Wow. And the children are in the store, say children, teenagers were in the store, and immediately they left because obviously they recognised that they were being watched. We've had it where we've had a robbery, and again, they were being monitored over the alarm system. The alarm company didn't feel it was appropriate to intervene, but immediately dialed 999. And again, another positive outcome from that. So it's used for a variety of things. But I think most importantly, where you've got shopkeepers who are on their own, it gives them that feeling of security and safety and knowing actually they're not on their own.
Any other devices? It's got reams and lists of them here. It's amazing, this story, because I really, really am quite surprised. I'm just amazed.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely amazed.
We've also got the Skyguard alarms as well. So they're a small device. So that if people are taking cash to the bank, or you know, they've got some product with them and they don't feel secure, they can basically press the button as they're going. If something happens, they can press the button and the control centre will automatically call the police. And on the device, it's got GPS tracking, so yeah, they know exactly where they are. And that also gives people a sense of security as well. So whilst we've bought a number of those, stores have also bought those as well.
Right. Now, what about cost? I'm a small shopkeeper. Can I get help or do I have to buy them?
We will come out and speak to the store. So if they're in a vulnerable location and they may be being subject to a business robbery before, or they're in an area where we think actually this store needs some help, then we will purchase it for them. We've got a supply and we're buying some more. If it's someone who we feel they're in a less vulnerable position, but they still want the equipment, it may be that we meet them halfway. Or if they're one of the bigger stores, then what we do is we work with them and they will buy it themselves. But what we found is we work with the betting industry and we've seen massive reductions in business robberies with the betting industry. And the reason for that is they're all sharing information. So one betting shop will buy a particular piece of security equipment and say, actually, that's really effective. And then what you find is the other betting shops do the same. They talk about keeping minimum amounts of cash on the premises. They talk about how do they keep their staff safe? What are their procedures if you know, one, to stop the business robberies, but two, if a business robbery happens. And by sharing that information and sharing product information as well, we found that's made a massive difference.
Right, to finish off, let's go back to the homes. What would you recommend, or is every house different on security?
I think every house is different, but the key thing is just making sure that you watch your own personal security. So a lot of doors at the moment don't self-lock. And what we find is people, you know, my mum and dad, for example, for a year, they thought that their front door was locking from the outside because they'd had a new front door fitted and they thought when they closed the door, it automatically locked. Well, it didn't. You've got to lock it with the key. And what we find is we go around and we'll operate Operation Handle Safe, and officers will go out and test people's front doors. And it's surprising how many people leave their front doors open, not knowing that it's not safe. Often, you know, people will double lock it before they go to bed, but they won't lock it during the day. The other thing is, you know, making sure your windows are closed and secure. You know, even if you're in the house, if you've got ground floor windows open that people can get through, we'll close them unless they need to be open. Or if, you know, unless you're in that room, keep them closed. Making sure that, you know, you've secured stored your back gates, you know, don't leave your back gates open. Simple stuff like that can prevent burglaries from happening. What we do is when we go around and speak to people, we will, you know, have a look at their security, making sure that their property's marked. So this is around the forensic marking system that we've got in place. But what we found with criminals is a great thing that works for them is if you let the criminal know that there's this forensic marking device in situ on a whole street, what you find is the whole street then is far more secure.
Explain what that is.
So basically, the forensic devices, what we do is we go in, we mark it with a solution. So it dries on there. The offender wouldn't know that the marking was on there. But we input that data. So we know from that address and from that DNA, we can match the two. So if that property is found elsewhere, we can match it back to that property.
But if I've got 20 paintings, has that got to be done on each one?
Yes, you'd have to mark each one. But you wouldn't know it was there. It's completely invisible to the naked eye.
No, it'd have to be done. And would you do that yourself or would the police do that?
No, we will bring the kit to your house. We will show you how it works. And then you would then mark the property. And then we would make sure that it went on our system as being marked and linked to your property.
Wow. That must be time consuming.
It is time consuming to a certain extent. But the dividends, I mean, 436 less burglaries last year. So that's 436 less victims. So I think, you know, it actually saves time. And what we our approach to this on Merseyside is if we can prevent people becoming victims of crime, it then gives us more resource to investigate those other offences. So we'd rather prevent these offences from happening in the first place than having to follow up and investigate. So it's time absolutely well spent.
How can people listening now find out more about this? Everything you've told us, all this information, is it collated somewhere?
There's lots of information on our website. So there's lots of information there in relation to retail crime. But if they also speak to their local neighbourhood teams, again, if they go on the internet, on the Merseyside Police website, there's a link there to the neighbourhood inspectors and the policing teams there. They can make contact there. We'll also make sure there's additional information on our internet site in relation to this as well as the phase two develops.
I think it's fascinating, Superintendent Jenny Sims. I'm so pleased you came. So Operation Aquila 2 starts...
It's starting the next few weeks.
Fantastic. Well, I just can't thank you enough. And it's amazing that the police do so much. And I genuinely didn't know half of that. So if I didn't, I'm sure an awful lot of my listeners haven't. Thank you so much for coming in.
And thanks very much for having us. Appreciate it.